Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
And you thought it was going to be a quiet day in the world of sports. Okay, I thought it was going to be a quiet day in the world of sports. I don't know what you thought. It wasn't a quiet day in the world of sports. Not only did we have our general NFL weekend fallout, along with Monday Night Football, which also has some fallout, and two teams going in opposite directions, but with the NBA draft on the horizon and free agency rapidly approaching, we now have all kinds of movement, reported movement, and desired movement in the NBA. And at some point, when I have a chance over the next couple of minutes, sometime this hour, I will throw a poll up on my Twitter and also put the question up on Facebook, though I haven't had a chance to do it yet. But it's weird. Let's be honest. It's weird to have NBA free agency and a draft taking place in November when typically we would have games tipping off right now. So teams would be just starting to get their sea legs under them, or at least to remember what it feels like to run up and down the court against a team wearing another uniform. So it's completely out of place, similar to the NBA postseason, the finals. They were completely out of place. But it's not been that long. The finals were over in October, and now here we are a month later, and it's time for the draft and free agency, and it's weird to me. It's just weird. There's a lot of things that are weird about sports in 2020, and this is weird. So I'm going to put a poll up to gauge your interest and how much you're following it. Because I have to remind myself it's happening. Otherwise, I would not be thinking about it whatsoever. Now, in hearing some of the moves that have been made or will be made, and some of the moves that are desired, I definitely had a bit of a reaction on Monday. If you haven't seen my Twitter, all I could think about, the emoji that fit the idea of James Harden and Kyrie Irving in the same backcourt. That idea in and of itself makes me cackle like nothing else that I've heard so far in this NBA offseason, as it were. I don't think some people understood my tweet, but whatever. Can you imagine, seriously? James Harden and Kyrie Irving in the same backcourt. Plus Kevin Durant on that team. Okay, I will elaborate on my opinion coming up sometime later this hour, later this show. But that's one idea that's being floated out there. In addition, we've got a week to go before the first college football playoff rankings, and still way more questions than answers. I don't even know what standards the committee is going to use to pick the final four teams or rank those teams that have an opportunity to reach the playoff. I don't know what happens with the bowl season. College basketball would typically be underway this week, and obviously it's not. And so we thought it would be a good time to welcome Jerry Palm of CBS Sports and CBS Sports HQ, because these are his two areas of expertise. So we'll get the latest, the questions and the answers with Jerry Palm when he joins us next hour here on the show. And we do have the latest on Drew Brees, as well as what we know about Nick Foles, who suffered an injury in the final minute of Monday Night Football. Well, that sucks, doesn't it? The final minute of Week 10. And so the dust is now settling on week number 10 in the NFL, believe it or not. And we're just over a week away from Thanksgiving. I can't wait. I've already started talking about Thanksgiving with pretty much everyone in my personal life, because for the longest time in 2020, I've done nothing but watch where I'm walking, meaning stare at the sidewalk right in front of me. My grandpa taught me this when I was little. If you always look down when you're walking, you won't trip. You need to know what's happening right in front of you. Now, I mean, he was, I'm sure, being cute with his little granddaughter. But I do tend to trip. I'm a bit of a klutz. And so I do try to walk and look down at least half the time, so I know what it is that I'm walking into. But it's also a good metaphor, I think, for me in 2020, keeping my eyes essentially focused on the here and now, keeping my brain from freaking out about what might or what might not happen and worrying about things that may never transpire. And so for the most part in 2020, when people ask me how I'm doing or what's going on, I tell them one day at a time, one show at a time, at the very most 1 week at a time. But now that we're close to the holidays and Thanksgiving being my all-time favorite holiday, I can't help myself. I am, in fact, looking ahead to holidays and time with people that I care about. Not exactly what I'm used to. In fact, not at all what I've done in the past, but still looking forward to it. And so I thought on this edition of the show, since we typically do a question, we called our Twizzler Tuesday question, as we more from a Monday into a Tuesday, that we would make it a Thanksgiving question. I'll be out actually for most of next week, and so we're going to work Thanksgiving into this week's shows. So we got a lot that we want to do this week. We're going to add a new feature, something that is brand new to CBS Sports Radio this week, and so the next 4 hours should fly by. At least I'm hoping. We're not going to blow anything up, I don't think. I guess I shouldn't make any promises. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio. We're live from the Rocket Mortgage Studios. When you need an expert to help navigate the home loan process, Rocket can. You can find me on Twitter, A-Law Radio. Even if you care nothing at all about the NBA, I still would love for you to vote in our Monday MVP poll. That's still out there. And then if you would like to send me your tweet initially about how much you do care or don't care about NBA free agency, I haven't put the poll up yet, so you can do that on Twitter. On Facebook, After Hours with Amy Lawrence. Man alive, we got hundreds of your comments about Monday MVP and about Week 10 in the NFL. You guys are all kinds of either bored or really excited about football, you Facebookers. So it's good to have you as well. And our phone number is 855-212-4227. That's 855-212-4CBS. Here's what we know about the NBA, and then we'll morph to some Monday Night Football. The Phoenix Suns have, in fact, acquired Chris Paul in a trade with Oklahoma City. Not a big surprise that Chris Paul is on the move. Maybe a bit of a surprise where he ended up, though this move has been rumored for a couple of days. Now you pair Chris Paul and Devin Booker, whose superstar status was really elevated from the bubble. All right, so Devin Booker, Chris Paul in the same backcourt. And this is a team that just missed out on the playoffs. So remember, Phoenix got into the bubble. Man, it takes a minute to think about the bubble and the beginning of the bubble in Orlando. That goes back to July and early August. But Phoenix was the hottest team in the bubble. 8-0, not losing any games, but just missing out on the playoffs. So they had a major hole to climb out of. They couldn't quite do it. There was a traffic jam there. So they missed out on that number 8 seed in the West. But if you add Chris Paul, we know there's Devin Booker. This is a team that feels like their good young core is gelling and they should be a contender in the West. And it reunites Chris Paul with a coach that he's familiar with, Monty Williams. The two of them crossed paths in New Orleans and actually did make the playoffs the one season that they were together. And so here's Chris Paul, who is going from, in the span of 3 years, not even three, I shouldn't say 3 years, I should say 2 years. The Thunder pick him up from the Rockets, and now he's in Phoenix. So Houston to Oklahoma City to Phoenix. And then you think about what's happening in Houston. It's a mess. Russell Westbrook wants out. James Harden has turned down a major contract extension and has indicated to anybody who will listen that he wants to play in Brooklyn. He may need to pray about that. I don't know if it's going to happen. But James Harden wants to play with his BFFs, Kevin Durant and Kyrie Irving. And you know, it's the NBA where everyone plays with their BFFs. And so Chris Paul goes from Houston to Oklahoma City to Phoenix. James Harden wants to go from Oklahoma City earlier in his career to Houston to Brooklyn. Russell Westbrook just wants out of Houston. He doesn't know where. Right now, it doesn't really matter what James Harden wants if the Rockets aren't willing to move him because he's under contract for multiple years. But that doesn't mean he can't pull an Anthony Davis and try to force his way out of H-Town. All right, so there's a lot going on. One more in the NBA. The Bucks are working on the final details to acquire Jrue Holiday from the Pelicans in exchange for Eric Bledsoe, George Hill, and three first-round picks. Three first-round picks, two players in order to get Jrue Holiday. Wowzers. Holiday on the all-defensive first team going back a couple years ago. He was on the second team 2 seasons ago, I believe. And he's a great defender as a guard and also averaged nearly 20 points last season. And so he could end up in Milwaukee before long. Whew, I need a deep breath. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio. As I say, we'll get into more of that. I will elaborate on my reaction to James Harden wanting to team up with KD and Kyrie in Brooklyn, which, by the way, those two guys haven't even played a game together in Brooklyn. But why don't we inject some James Harden into the mix? So that's just tree-topping what's happening in the NBA. Monday Night Football wrapping up week 10 in the NFL. It doesn't matter how many times I say it, I can't believe that we're through week 10 in the NFL, but I might as well accept it. And we've got two teams from the same division, NFC North, going in opposite directions. I asked you this question last week. I said to you, even though the Vikings are below 500, even though the Bears are not below 500, even though the Bears are in second place and the Vikings currently sit in third place, is it possible the Vikings are the second best team in the NFC North? Last year, 10 wins, made the playoffs, won a postseason game in New Orleans. We're starting to see that same Minnesota Vikings team. And it wasn't the formula that got them 2 wins in a row with Dalvin Cook returning from injury, but it's still a formula that worked in Soldier Field on Monday night.
3rd and 3, Cousins 6 of 6, 2 receivers left, 1 right, back to pass, fade for the end zone, and it is caught! Touchdown! Adam Thielen with a 17-yard touchdown. 3rd and 4 from the 6, empty backfield. Bears rush 4. Cousins to the end zone! Touchdown! Thielen with a touchdown. He has two, and the Vikings have taken a 19-13 lead. Foles out of the shotgun. Fourth and nine. The Vikings do blitz. Nick steps up. He's going to loft it, and Anthony Miller can't bring it in at the five. It was off the fingertips of Anthony Miller, and the Vikings have turned over the Bears on downs. Holy cow. Tyler Bray with a deep drop. He'll pass to the left and threw a knuckleball to absolutely nobody. And the Vikings have turned the Bears over on downs, and the anti-Vike, known as Soldier Field, has been neutralized.
That's the voice of one Mike Zimmer. Kirk Cousins, of course, being his quarterback. Kirk goes 25 of 36, just shy of 300 yards, a couple of touchdowns, both to Adam Thielen, who, by the way, is a proven badass. And he did throw an interception. It was pretty sweet to see Khalil Mack, who comes away with an interception, and then he motors down the sidelines like he's Cordarrelle Patterson. And so here are the Vikings, who do not get the 200-plus yards from Dalvin Cook. What they get is 96 yards on a heck of a lot of carries. So he carried the ball 30 times, and managed 96 yards. So we're talking about just over 3 yards per carry. The Bears defense clearly focused on limiting his opportunities, and if not his opportunities, then limiting his effectiveness. And they did that. He did not score. He only caught 4 balls, and they were for very short yardage as well. So the Bears defense did what it was supposed to do. The Bears special teams did what it was supposed to do for the most part. Cordarrelle Patterson with an incredible highlight, 104-yard kick return for a touchdown. And so to see those two units of the Chicago Bears doing their job, and to know that still the offense cannot generate more than 17 points. In this case, it's only 13 points and no touchdowns offensively. It still remains a glaring issue for the Bears. After starting out 5-1, they have now lost 4 consecutive games and have fallen back to 500. Meanwhile, the Vikings are nipping at their heels in the NFC North, and they're at 4-5. Still a handful of games to go, still opportunities for them potentially to climb back into the playoff picture, though they created quite a cavernous hole for themselves. It's certainly been fighting, scratching, clawing for these Minnesota Vikings, and Dalvin Cook makes all the difference. No doubt the Bears are jealous. They did not have David Montgomery in this game, and once again had almost no run game to speak of. Patterson had a lot more yards on returns than he did on actual rushes. So the Vikings defense showed up to play, holding the Bears to just 41 yards rushing. And to me, that is still their biggest issue. Their offensive line is makeshift at best. Foles was under siege for a lot of this game before he got hurt, knocked out in the final minute. So Foles was sacked officially twice, but got hit 11 other times. Not a mobile quarterback for the most part. So you're looking at it from the Bears' perspective. The offense still is almost entirely what Foles can generate through the air. Multiple passes going through the hands of his receivers on Monday night. And of course, he missed passes. Accuracy has never been his number one asset. They would move the ball. They would settle for field goals early. And then nothing in the second half in terms of taking advantage of their field position. No run game, a bad offensive line. It just devolves into disaster over and over for these Bears offensively. For the Vikings, they did just enough. It wasn't perfect. It was efficient. They did just enough. But a nice highlight reel for Justin Jefferson, who had some really nice catches, the rookie receiver out of LSU. So we'll get an update on Nick Foles, because he was knocked out in that final minute by what didn't necessarily look like a devastating hit, but he needed the cart to get off the field. We'll hear from Kirk Cousins as well. And then Matt Nagy, who gave up play calling for the first time on this Monday night, but the Bears still suffer yet another loss. You can find me on Twitter, ALawRadio. also on our Facebook page. I am interested in how much you care about the NBA and its draft and free agency coming up. I know it feels weird, but we're still doing some football. And so we'll stick in that space next. Week 10 is in the books. Wowzers. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio.
You are listening to the After Hours podcast.
Cordarrelle Patterson will have an opportunity about 5 yards deep. Comes up on the right hash. Angles to the 10, to the 15, to the 20. Gets a block, 25, 30, 35, 40. Gets by Bailey. There goes the pony down the sideline. 10, 5, end zone. Touchdown. Touchdown, Bears.
That was it. That was your bright spot for the Chicago Bears on Monday Night Football. A 104-yard kickoff return, the longest in Bears history, eclipsing the one by Gale Sayers in 1967 that stretched 103 yards. Bonus points for those of you who are Steelers fans who remember it was against Pittsburgh. So that goes back to 1967, but Cordarrelle Patterson now has the new record for the Chicago Bears. Longest kickoff return in their franchise history, which stretches more than 100 years. So that was your highlight. That was really impressive. Kevin Harlan with the call on the Westwood One radio network. Those were the only Chicago points in the second half. Otherwise, even with Matt Nagy giving up his play calling duties, the offensive anemia continues for the Bears.
Obviously, we struggled mightily on offense and having the 4 3-and-outs in the second half. We had field position. We couldn't convert on that in the red zone.
That was one of the problems, of course. There were many problems, but he's right. Typically, as he pointed out after the game, they have bad field position. But in this particular case, in this game, their field position wasn't terrible. But even when they had shorter fields, as Matt Nagy points out, they either didn't get into the red zone or they didn't take advantage of it. Now, they were officially 0 for 1 in the red zone, 2 for 11 on third down. And once again, I point to a couple of different things. Not having a legit running threat. So it's not like the Vikings defense had to guard against a Dalvin Cook type back and try to limit him, try to contain him. But also losing the battle in the trenches over and over and over again. Even when Nick Foles didn't officially get sacked, his pocket collapsed so quickly, what felt like 90% of the time. Only 149 yards for the Bears in this game. They were blown out of the water in terms of the ball control, the time of possession battle. The Vikings ran 70 plays to just 50 for the Bears. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence here on CBS Sports Radio. To add some insult to injury, or I guess you could flip it around, to add an injury to the insult of losing their fourth straight game, Nick Foles was carted off the field in the final minute after a sack, and yet again, the pocket collapsing.
You take a step back and you just, like you just said, you get a guy that's, you know, we're all going through a lot right now. And then at the end to get injured like that, they're still looking at him. You know, it was his leg or his hip. So I think they're still working through the details on that. It's been frustrating. It's been hard. And that's the part that's difficult through all this, because no one wants it more than him to be out there to fight with his teammates. So we'll keep an eye on that. And again, it's this bye is coming at a good time for us. We're a little bit beat up right now, so we need to be able to get some guys back and get healthy.
So while we await the news on Nick Foles, not knowing if this is a serious injury, hoping that it's not, but there's no way of knowing until they do some tests, Mitch Trubisky is already on the shelf dealing with a shoulder injury. And it was Tyler Bray who stepped into the game in that final minute. Now, let's be honest, the game was still hanging in the balance there. It's not like the Vikings had put it away. And Bray did have the chance to try 5 passes, but only completed one of them. And the situation really no different. The offensive line in front of these quarterbacks, it's almost impossible to have any time. And I thought it was really interesting. One thing that was noted by Kurt Warner on the Westwood One broadcast, so this is the radio broadcast of Monday Night Football, said he continually sees the Bears shooting their receivers downfield, which takes time to develop. Okay, so if you're going to send all your receivers downfield, 20 yards, a go route, a post route, maybe a crossing pattern, a deep crossing pattern, well, it takes time to develop. Nick Foles doesn't have that kind of time because the pocket is collapsing around him the second that he snaps the ball. For the most part, he was under siege, and the offensive line for the Bears is not holding up. So if you do not have any receivers that are, say, 5 yards, 7 yards, 10 yards down the field where they can get to their position quickly, where they can run their route quickly, then Foles doesn't have any options to throw to as the pocket is collapsing. So I thought that was kind of interesting. And it, remember, now Foles disputes that this was something that he was saying as a criticism to Matt Nagy. But remember, he was talking to Brian Griese about a Monday Night Football game a couple weeks ago, and Griese shared that information on the broadcast, and it, you know, got to be a bit of a sticky situation. But essentially what Foles was saying to Griese is that a lot of times Nagy would be calling plays that he didn't have time for because there wasn't enough time in the pocket for that play to develop. So I thought that was interesting, going with what we saw tonight and Kurt Warner's assessment of it. Not enough receivers and short yardage options for when the pocket collapses. And then you couple that with what Brian Griese had reported a couple of weeks ago on the broadcast. And it definitely does make sense when you watch it play out on the field. As for Kirk Cousins, like any quarterback, you obviously feel terrible when you see another QB go down on the field.
First of all, just you know, thoughts and prayers with Nick Foles. Not sure what the injury was. I don't have any information, but you know, felt badly for him being carted off. Hoping he's okay.
So as we say, it's a hip or a leg injury. We don't know exactly which one, but regardless, Bears have lost four in a row. The Vikings, meanwhile, have won their third consecutive game.
It's great to get a win, you know, against a divisional opponent at their place, a place that's you know, a tough place to play. You know, it's a really good defense we play tonight. I felt like they showed it all game long. Yards were tough to come by. Points were tough to come by.
That's true. All of that is an accurate assessment. So the Vikings moved to 4-5. They don't need a ton of offense because they don't give up a ton of offense in beating the Bears at Soldier Field. So watch out. Vikings have one of the longest win streaks They have a nice win streak at three consecutive games. If you look in the NFC, though, and you've got the New Orleans Saints who've won six in a row, the Vikings are the next longest win streak in the NFC. So good for them. They've managed to turn it around. It's a long season still. A lot of real estate. We could definitely see them insert themselves back into that playoff conversation. We'll just have to see what happens over the course of November and December. All right, on Twitter, A-Law Radio, also on our Facebook page, After Hours with Amy Lawrence. I'm going to take this opportunity to put a poll up on Twitter. So producer Dave is not with us, and so I'm kind of manning the social media on my lonesome, which is weird. But I'm going to try. You know me, I don't do a lot of the polls, but I'll do my best.
You are listening to the After Hours podcast.
Mike Zimmer says it wasn't perfect, but it was a win. Amen to that. A win is a win is a win is a win. Adam Thielen with a pair of touchdown catches among the four that he made. Just 43 yards, but that is enough. And the Vikings take the lead in the second half, and they end up holding off the Bears. Really, any type of offensive production in the second half was completely squashed. And so there was a field goal and there was a touchdown for the Vikings. And really, at 10 minutes to go in the fourth quarter, you kind of saw what the Bears had been doing or not been doing, not been able to generate on offense, and a whole lot of hope that anything would change. It's just been a mess with the offensive line. Obviously, the run game is poor at best. And Nick Foles, while he can throw the ball, there's not the ability to scramble and extend plays. You might have that with Mitch Trubisky, though you're giving up the ability to read defenses. So there's no right answer for Matt Nagy and no right answer for the Chicago Bears at this point. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio. I'm still working on my poll, but you can find me on Twitter, A-Law Radio. Also on our Facebook page, named after the show. Our toll-free line is 855-212-4227. That's 855-212-4CBS. Do you rent your home? Well, if you do, Geico makes it easy to bundle renters and car insurance. Having a home is hard work, so get a quote at geico.com. With the dust settling on week 10 in the NFL, I'd love to talk about it with you. Let's start with Alberto, who's in Arizona. Welcome to After Hours.
Thank you for having me. I actually had a couple questions on a couple points. Want to know your opinion first off on the Suns and following the offseason stuff. How do you suppose Chris Paul is going to be in the locker room? I mean, he's an A-type personality with a young team. I worry about the dynamic there. My second part is what do you think the record is going to be, the Saints, with Jameis Winston playing against the Falcons twice, Broncos and the Eagles. But my opinion on third is I think the Bears are in trouble. They don't have an answer at quarterback. They don't have an answer at play calling on the offense. Nagy had to give it up, and it still wasn't good. But I'll take your answers off the air. I just want to know what your thoughts on those three topics.
Okay, well, the Bears I've talked about now for the past 40 minutes, so I would agree with you. They don't have a great answer right now. It certainly seems like the play calling that they draw up is not the right fit for a guy like a Nick Foles who's not a mobile quarterback because the offensive line can't hold off the oncoming rush. So the Vikings just rushed and rushed and blitzed and rushed, and the pocket would collapse, and Foles wouldn't have time to hit receivers who were streaking downfield. And so often he was throwing under duress. And to not have a run game, to me, is still the biggest issue. Ask the Vikings what happens when you don't have a run game, because they know. They started out 1-5. So that's my remarks on the Chicago Bears. As for the Saints, I guess you're assuming that Breeze is out the rest of the way. Is that how you're feeling?
I would assume he's out until at least the Chiefs game. Four games. Twice.
Okay, and you're just assuming that based on what? Because I guess I don't know how quickly a guy heals or how quickly he can tolerate having rib pain.
Rib injury. I mean, if he made it this way with a slight rib injury after 4 weeks, he might want to come back against the Chiefs and see if they can salvage the season. If Jameis Winston does okay, goes 500, beats the Broncos and then the Falcons once at home, he might have a chance there. I mean, that's, again, obviously speculation. I'm not saying I know that with any sort of accuracy, but you would think that 4 weeks, maybe he decides he wants to come back in against the Chiefs. So if he goes 500, I guess, I don't know, maybe if you think that's a possibility. That was my question, I guess.
All right. Well, not knowing at all how long he's going to be out, I would actually say the punctured lung, or not the punctured lung, sorry, the partially collapsed lung would be maybe a bigger issue for me. There are guys who play with rib pain, who play with broken ribs. We know that that's possible, and I think a lot of it's pain tolerance. And so I guess at this point, not knowing how long he's going to be out, I would only say we saw a similar situation with Teddy Bridgewater having to step in last year, and the fact that Sean Payton is such a bright offensive mind, the fact that he obviously has confidence because he's made Jameis Winston their number two QB. We know that Winston can throw the ball, though he typically is not anywhere near as accurate as Drew Brees. But I think Sean Payton is the piece of this that matters the most. However long it takes Brees to recover, what Winston needs to do is stick to the game plan, not turn the ball over. Again, he's not anywhere near as accurate or as efficient with the football as Drew, but he can throw it. And so you at least have that element of it. And remember, last year, the Saints didn't lose when Bridgewater was starting because they also had a defense that was playing extremely well. And we're also seeing that this year. The New Orleans Saints defense has played really well the last 2 weeks. Alvin Kamara is locked in. So it's not just about the quarterback. I think my biggest concern with Jameis is turning the ball over.
You're right. So what do you suppose, if you were to suppose that predict their win?
No, I don't predict.
Okay,
I don't even know if Drew Brees is going to be out. Like, how do you even know that? I mean,
all right, you're right. Okay, fair enough.
So you can predict, and I'll just smile.
I would say he goes 500. Okay, loses one against the Falcons, wins one. I think he wins the one against the Broncos, and the Eagles one might be tough. So let's just say he goes 500, and then you get Drew Brees back for the Chiefs game. That's what I think might happen.
Okay. As for the Suns, I think with a young team, exactly what you want is a veteran leader. I don't know how he's going to fit in, but he definitely knows Monty Williams. I think for Chris Paul, it was about being with a contender and watching what Phoenix did in the bubble, going 8-0. Yes, missing the playoffs, but making extremely close. If he's motivated, and certainly young players inside that locker room, they can be in awe of him as a future Hall of Famer. I do think a veteran voice is needed, though, when you have a young group. And so I know Chris Paul's reputation. I know that there has been, you know, there have been some cases where there's been a lot of friction. But I hope that with new motivation and the fact that he still desperately wants to, he's never been to a conference finals. He's never been to an NBA finals, that he would put his best behavior and his best foot forward.
The Suns are so young. It's going to be tough for them to get to there from where they are now, obviously depending on how it works out. But like you said, the friction and hoping that maybe Chris Paul understands that maybe he's, you know, the B, answer to the offense. I don't know enough about.
That's not Chris Paul's issue. Chris Paul is not Russell Westbrook. Chris Paul's not a guy who has to have the ball in his hands. He's a facilitator. Chris Paul's a passer. And so he likes to set up his teammates. So I don't think it's so much about that. I think it's more about just understanding his role is to be a veteran leader and recognizing that, you know, he's got a young group that is trying to gel and trying to come together, and that he's, you know, he needs to play nice, so to speak. I'm going to let you go.
Sir. Thank you for my time. Thank you for your time.
You're welcome. That was a long phone call, but I do appreciate Alberto. I'm going to try to limit the phone calls to not quite 6 minutes though. 855-212-4227. Reginald is in Columbia. So I have 3 minutes for you. Go ahead.
How you doing, Amy?
I'm good. Thank you.
Hey, I said, let me call in. I know she going to be going, and you said you weren't going to be there, and I know you had went on vacation. Well, you got the rest sometime. But where do you get all that energy, man? I wish you could pass it on, you know?
Which energy? The energy I have right now?
I listen to you. You're so on point, and you can go on and on. It's just beautiful, man.
I appreciate that. They do pay me to do that, though. Nobody wants to listen to a radio show with a chick who's half asleep and has no energy at all.
Yes, well, I've been enjoying the show. But what I wanted to, just listening to what you were speaking about for this game tonight with the Bears, and I'm not sure, but with their offensive line, I think this problem may have been going on for a little while.
Sure.
You know, it seemed like, and I know, you know, it's all about adjustments. And if they hadn't gotten it straight by now, I'm not so sure what's going to happen. Because the last time I spoke with you and where we are now, like I said, you're going to be able to tell the difference between the pretenders and the contenders. And it's really showing, you know, it's a lot going on in football now. Just to give an example, even like with the NFL, and I know we was talking about the NFL with the transitions for as coaches getting fired, just like, you know, with the defenses, now that I know the game will change, but I'm more like a Emmett Thomas, Jim Marcellus guy, the Axon back in the day, the Assassin. I mean, the defenses, I know they changed the game, and but – you know, now I'm seeing where the players are jumping over the defensive players. it's like they're not focused. I was trained when I was playing that, you know, you always look at their waistline and the waistline don't move. But anyway, what I'm getting at, just like with Atlanta.
You just have about 30 seconds. I'm sorry. Just about 30 seconds left.
I'm sorry. But, yeah, and that's what I know I don't have a lot of time. But anyway – Raheem Morris down in Atlanta.
Mm-hmm.
He's a defensive minded coach.
Yep.
Quinn got fired and he's been on the staff, but I'm not so sure if they might not need to go for us with young talent for somebody new, because I do say one thing about him. When he was on the defensive side of the ball, they switched him to a wide receiver coach.
Okay.
And then they move him back to defense. I never understood that.
Well, okay. I'm sorry, Reginald. There's the music. Yeah. So I do have to let you go because it'll cut you off. And so I would prefer to cut you off. I'm sorry about that. Yes, I would agree with you in Atlanta that they are likely going to look around. And it's not so much that Raheem Morris isn't galvanizing the troops, so to speak, because they are playing better for him with more energy. But they're going to look for a bright kind of up-and-coming mind. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.